Well, you've all come back for the next part of this Lazarus Blueprint. We're continuing our series on this Lazarus Blueprint based on the story of the rising of Lazarus in the Gospel of John. And you know, John is the most mystical gospel. And contained in this ancient story are secrets and principles that we can use in our everyday life for healing, for inner peace. And there are six steps in this process, in this extraordinary blueprint for overcoming a difficult situation, for healing a situation that may seem absolutely impossible. And these are steps that we can use to redesign our life. And as we move through these steps, you'll see more and more how that works. So, in this story of Lazarus, we have on the surface an interesting story, but it's somewhat confusing. I always love those gospel stories where they're a nice little story, and then all of a sudden, Jesus or somebody does something that was unexpected or confusing. And so in this story, you know, Lazarus falls ill, and his sisters Martha and Mary send an urgent message to Jesus. And instead of Jesus, you know, putting on his backpack and running off to Bethany, he waits 2 days. Kind of a head scratcher. So finally, Jesus arrives, and Lazarus is dead. He's in the tomb. He's been there 4 days. And Mary says to Jesus, you know, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus' answer to all of that is, he just says, where have you laid Lazarus? You know, take me to him. And so he comes to the tomb, and the tomb is a cave with a big stone in front of it. It's lying against the opening, and Jesus says, take away the stone. And before anything happens, you know, Martha's saying, well, gee, you know, why do you want to do that? It's already stinky. You know, there's a stench. She's been dead several days. So that's the element of the story that we're going to talk about today. You know, last week, Reverend Mike talked about step one in this blueprint, you know, that idea of turn away, that idea of that two-day delay that's listed in the story. In that story, Martha and Mary send this urgent message to Jesus, and, you know, Lazarus is gravely ill. And when Jesus receives that message, now we know from previous stories in the gospel that Jesus was very close to Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so he doesn't rush off. And as I say, it's a bit of a puzzle. Because wouldn't you, I mean, if you had a friend or a relative who was really in grave danger, you know? And so, you know, I kind of read that story, and it was like, well, so much for concern, you know, on Jesus' part. I love when Jesus acts human, don't you? Instead of, you know, doing all the saintly wonderful things, you know, it's so much for compassion. You know, these are dear friends. What's up with this miracle worker, Jesus, that he delays? And so when something like that happens, and it's kind of a what I would call a pattern interrupt, we have to ask ourselves, what is our way shower Jesus demonstrating for us? That when we kind of don't understand what's going up. And that first step in the healing process is to pause. Yeah, take a little time. Don't get sucked into whatever's going on, into that energy. Don't jump into action, which I think is a very human reaction because we want to fix things. We think we're in control, and we want to fix it. And so that first step is we're told to turn away. You know, spend some time in prayer. Don't get sucked into the problem. Don't dwell on that problem or the situation. Because if we do, it gives it energy and power. And then when it gets energy and power, it's like the big blob of glue. It kind of takes us over and sucks us in. Fear and anxiety will crowd out our peace. I mean, we've been getting big doses of that over the past months about fear and anxiety and uncertainty and change. A lot of prayer work that the chaplains are doing is around fear and anxiety. I know, I don't mean to project, but I know myself, I get panicky. If something's going on that's really critical and I get panicky, I can't think. I get paralyzed. I'm frozen mentally and physically. If I can just take a breath, you know, and calm down and let my subconscious take over, my higher self starts coming up with all kinds of ideas and possibilities that when I'm like this, I can't come up with. That first step is really hard. To those of you who've been in situations, when I've been in those situations, they hurt, they're frustrating. We're used to taking charge and having a plan, and we have to remember at times like that, we're not just human beings. We also possess a higher power, you know, our Christ nature. How quickly we forget about that in times of crisis. You know, so much our reaction is, why is God doing this to me? It's that higher self of us, that cosmic self that knows, that sees further, that possesses a wisdom that we as humans have a hard time grasping when things get rough. That higher self of us is what our co-founder Charles Fillmore refers to when he says, when he's dealing with the problem, I'll go to headquarters. That's what he used to say. Meaning, if there's a problem and I can't solve it, or I don't even know that I should be able to solve that, I'm going to sit in prayer. I'm going to open my subconscious to that higher power, go into headquarters. And Einstein, one of my favorites, refers to that when he says, a problem cannot be solved with the same thinking that was used when it was created. What is he talking about? He's talking about this higher part of us, this Christ nature of us. He didn't put that label on it, but that's what he's talking about, it to go to headquarters to get deeper and more profound answers. So, okay, in this process, there's another step, step two. In that blueprint for healing, whatever needs to be healed, it's that phrase, remove the stone. Sounds simple. What it's really saying is get rid of that huge roadblock standing in your way. Now, a little aside here. During Jesus' time and culture, when someone died, their final resting place was generally a cave dug out or a hole dug out in the side of a hill. And to make sure that the body wasn't disturbed once it was in there, they would put a large rock, a large stone over the opening to make sure that, you know, animals didn't go in there looking for food, scavenging. And the hole, if you imagine, has to be pretty big because you have to get a couple people and body in through that opening. So the stone that covers this opening has to be pretty sizable, and it also is probably pretty heavy, you know. And so it requires a lot of strength and a lot of energy to move that stone away from the opening. And there's another point that struck me in that story, this Lazarus story. If Jesus is to call out, or even Jesus is supposed to go in to see Lazarus, he can't do that once the stone is here. But even if he calls out, he can't even hear inside the cave because there's this big stone there. So it's imperative that for anything to happen, for any miracle, for any healing, for anything, this stone has got to be rolled away. So Lazarus is lying lifeless in the tomb, in the cave. And Jesus in the story is very confident and calm, focused on what he has to do. And remember, Lazarus in this story, when we're looking at it, the level we're looking at it, he represents our problem, dead in the tomb, unable to act, unable to do anything. And Jesus in the story represents our higher self. Because remember, we said all the characters in the story exist in us. So as we're looking at the story with these new eyes, every single character represents a part of us. And so in this scenario, only Jesus, only the higher self, sees any possibilities for healing. And to do that, he says, take away the stone. Lazarus, that part of us that's stymied, Jesus, our higher self. And don't forget the bystanders. I mean, they're important too. They play an important part in this story because they're also part of us. Because those bystanders are people who are constantly feeding us the bad news. Well, he's been dead 4 days, and then there's a stench, and then you can't do that. And there's something rotten in the, you know, that talk. Why do you want to uncover that? In essence, what they're saying is, why would you even think about doing that? These are the voices, the naysayers telling us stuff is impossible. That awful people. Know of any people like that in your life? Whenever you want to attempt to do something or you get an idea, immediately they shoot it down. Well, you tried that last year and it didn't work. And you didn't, you know, you're too old, too young, you're not smart enough, you're whatever. And so that those bystander voices are also part of us because we've got a lot of programming in our heads. You know, that's basically saying we can't do this or the situation is impossible. And probably on that human level, it is. But we're not just human. We forget that. In healing what needs to be healed, what is that idea of remove the stone? What does that really mean for us? It's that huge roadblock that's standing in our way. Standing in our way of overcoming what we need to overcome. If anything is going to restore Lazarus, it's not going to happen as long as that stone is over the entrance of the tomb. Lazarus can't hear anything Jesus says. He certainly can't push that out himself. As long as the stone is there, nothing's going to happen. By the same token, nothing can be done to restore your life to wholeness as long as whatever stone is in your life is blocking your path. Now, no one can know what your situation is or was or what background you came from. Or what the huge stone is that's blocking your path. Only you can determine that. But likely, that something is obstructing your path from moving forward. And it's probably very big. Some aspect of your life is in that dark cave. And only you know what that obstruction is that's keeping you from being fully free and being as wonderful and great as you were designed to be. Now, this may sound kind of bad news. I've got a stone and it's blocking me. But if we do some investigating, and we discover what that stone is, what that obstacle is, we will have taken a giant step in the direction of the healing, in the direction of that inner peace that we're looking for. Only one entrance led into that cave, which means there's only one way that leads to the solution of the situation. And that one way leads through you. I can't do it. Only you can do it. You can't do it for me. Only I can do it for me. So the bottom line is, stone has got to go. All right. Thanks, Reverend Jan, for sharing that with me. Now what do I do with that? You know, Well, how do you identify and interpret who or what or, you know, whatever that stone is? Get a handle on your stone. What does it represent in your life? What's important to remember is that this stone is not, and I repeat, not another person. This stone is not an external condition in your life. It never is. It's not something out there. Okay, well, if it's not another person or an external condition, although that's the way it appears to be, right? What is it? The stone is not the illness or the financial collapse or the abusive relationship. The stone is not the situation itself. The stone is not the situation itself. The situation is an indicator that there's something going on below the surface. Because once you identify what that stone is and push it aside, everything in the external world begins to shift, sometimes really fast, sometimes at a slower pace. But the minute you get a handle on that, it begins to shift. Okay. So now I've taken away all of the things that we would normally point to and say, well, if they would just change, or this is the problem, or that's the situation, or if I just had another job, or if I... Who can I blame that it's their fault, or it's this fault, or that's the reason? The blame game. If I can't blame someone or something else, then what? If I can blame someone or something else, then I become a victim. They're in control. I'm powerless. Because if they weren't here, or the situation weren't here, I'd be footloose and fancy free, right? Logical. Everything we teach here at Unity, everything you learn here, is that you're not powerless at all. You are powerful because you're not just human. You're human and divine. Okay, so if the stone is not something out there and it's not something external, what is it? It's something within us. It could be a really strong belief we have. It could be an attitude. Just the attitude of it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. We're getting lots of examples of that, aren't we? It could be a habit that seems absolutely impossible to break. It could often be a memory that's choking out our life force and preventing us from being a complete person. At some point in our life, and it's usually on an unconscious level, we've decided to wall off a part of us from life so that it will lessen its influence on you because it may be too painful or too anxiety-provoking. Maybe you've encapsulated the hurt of a broken heart. I know, having gone through death of a spouse, a divorce, another painful death with someone I was in a loving relationship with, you know, it takes a lot of courage to move out and be in relationship again. So we tend to wall off a part of us so it doesn't hurt us. The problem with that is emotion is a funny thing. What we wall off, that stone, continues to block opportunities for loving relationships. whatever that stone is, whatever we've walled off, blocks off further progress in whatever area we're needing to expand and grow in. That's what happens when we wall something in. We're also walling something out. Darn. The life that could be ours in its fullness can't happen until this roadblock, this mindset, is removed. And again, a lot of this stuff is unconscious. A lot of it happened maybe when we were so young, we don't even consciously remember, but it's left an impression. In this journey to health and wholeness and inner peace, the big question is, are you willing to search your heart and mind until you locate and identify what that obstacle is? It takes a lot of courage, takes a lot of honesty, because again, we can't blame anything out there. It's all inside. How much easier it is to point fingers and say, if only, if it weren't for, if that hadn't happened, if I had different parents, if I, you know, on and on. Unless you can identify the stone, you can't remove it. That makes sense, right? If there's a problem, if you don't know where it is or what it is, how can you fix it? Some suggestions to help in this process. It's important, particularly in this day and age of constant noise and frenetic stuff going on, sit quietly for a few minutes every day. And just allow your unconscious, your higher self, to speak to you. Set an intention as we go into that quiet time to earnestly find out what that stone is. And as you do this process, it comes differently to different people. Sometimes it might be a gentle voice. Many times it doesn't come right away. It might come in a dream. I know when I was in therapy, the biggest breakthrough I had in therapy at all was a dream that was so, to me, bizarre. And I happened to have a wonderful spiritual therapist who was able to decipher the symbols. And it was like, oh, and the weight that was lifted off me and the amount of energy that poured into me with that just, wow, was astounding. What happens sometimes when I'm driving, just sort of, you know, zoning out. I mean, I'm paying attention to the road, but I'm kind of zoning out. Or you're in the shower, you know, you get ideas. You know, when you're not necessarily thinking, there's some part of you that's thinking for you. Don't try to force this process. It could be buried deeply. If you sincerely want the answer, it'll be given to you. Some areas, some clues of what it might be are unforgiveness, resentment, anger when you think about something that makes you really angry, shame, guilt, and are jumped to blaming. Those are some of the biggest blocks. Yours might be in there or something totally unique. The other clue is whatever the stone is, it's tied to very strong emotion. It's not just a little blip or a little hiccup. Once you discover the stone, make up a powerful affirmation that reflects your heartfelt desire to take command of the situation, and when the thoughts come up or the emotion comes up or the anger comes up, that you bless it and you let it go. Say that affirmation often, because again, if this is something that now starts bubbling up, it's going to be right there. And so every time it comes up, you have to say this affirmation. Say it with passion. Every time you find some negative stuff coming up around this stone, the affirmation might be as simple as, no, I'm not going to let you control my thinking. no, you have no power over me. And it doesn't, because it's not. That's not the thing that's holding the power. The healing power within me is stronger than any outside circumstances. As I say, whatever that stone is tied to, there's strong emotion around it as we start digging. In the Lazarus story, Jesus issued the order to take away the stone. And it happened. That character, Jesus, in the story, is that part of us that issues orders from that powerful place. If we take the time and trust that higher self of us to identify the stone, then when we do, our higher self will also help us remove that stone. The process takes effort on our part, but then so does anything. If you want to be a good tennis player, you got to put in time and energy. But it is so worth it. Always remember, on this journey, on this spiritual journey, you're working with the same power that Jesus called upon in this Lazarus story. Whoa! That power will overcome everything and anything in its path.